for the moment. It's another round of crystal balling with Jay Yeomans. He's you read him a lot on the D News sports page. Very prolific sports writer for them. Also the man and the brains and the effort behind jmoneysports.com, a very interesting website for all things BYU. He follows BYU players internationally, and of course the Jazz. There's always something on jmoneysports.com concerning the Jazz, especially today. Jay Yeomans, welcome to Morning Drive.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
So, obviously, the George Hill thing happened, and the preposterousness of the guy snapping on the Jazz hat and then moving on. You know, that understood. What you had to wait a while to figure out exactly what the Jazz were thinking, and maybe they were questions about moves to be made and all kinds of, you know, trying to deal back into the first round. They end up with 3 second-round picks, something I thought they'd never do. These guys are not all going to make the roster. But give us your kind of exhale out of the, after the draft.
When I saw him take Marcus Paige, I thought, wow, wouldn't that have been a great pick 2 years ago if he'd have come out when he was a sophomore?
Yep.
He was a great scorer. He could shoot the ball. He could get to the line. He was a nice distributor. But he dropped off the last 2 years and wasn't quite as impressive. And I think that hurt, of course, his draft stock, and that's why he was available with the Jazz at 55. And Tyrone Wallace is really interesting to me because he's kind of a combo guard who can't shoot it at all. I mean, he's a good slasher, and he was a good scorer in college, but he doesn't shoot it well from beyond the arc, and he doesn't shoot it well from the free throw line. So that was a little bit perplexing to me. But I did love the pick of Ball and Boy. I've seen him a whole bunch, and I think he's the kind of guy, well, granted, he still has to make the roster. I think he's the kind of guy that can make the roster because he's got an NBA-ready skill. And one of those things that always translates from college to the pros, where a lot of things don't, is rebounding. And he's a great rebounder because he's a great athlete who plays with a lot of heart and a lot of hustle. And I think that's going to translate to the NBA for him.
Yeah, an interesting pick there. And, you know, I think some folks thought he slid. We'll find out from Randy Ray coming up in a few minutes, you know, how much. It doesn't really matter whether you're 42 or 50. Your second round, not guaranteed. But I think he's going to be on the opening night roster for the Jazz because he's so multidimensional and with a guy who has that kind of a motor, and you know, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Millsap, but you know, maybe not different skill set. Certainly, I think Millsap at that point was, you know, had tons of potential untapped. We'll see where Ball and Boy goes, but yeah, I like that too. And again, the George Hill thing, we can talk about it even if Dennis Lindsay can't. To me, that was a, you know, really, really smart move for all of the right reasons with their team building. And, you know, does it delay Exum? No, it helps them. They can actually play together, and that'd be a pretty solid defensive tandem. And they don't have to. They can go a lot of different ways. Just $8 million this year, and the next year he's a free agent. They can, you know, deal him in long term if they so choose. But, you know, he comes from the Spurs tree, and not much to not like.
No, he's a solid player. He can shoot the rock. He's not a distributing lead guard. I mean, he's not a guy who's going to come in and average 8 or 9 assists. But that's okay in this system because you got a whole bunch of guards handling the ball. Hayward's handling the ball, and Hood's handling the ball, and it's more of a team game than one guy running and facilitating your offense. So I think he's a really good fit there. The only concern I ever have when you trade away draft picks that are lottery picks is George Hill is a really nice player and he's really solid and he might be a 1 year guy or he might be here for the next 5 or 6 years. But I have a hard time when you get rid of draft picks when there are guys that are on the board who have the opportunity to be special. So I think you're playing it safe when you make this move, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it makes them better right away, absolutely. But there's something to be said for rolling the dice and trying to get a star at that spot because there are stars available every year outside of the top 10.
Yeah, I agree. But you know, to take on that mindset, I think would be flying in the face of what I've been, and maybe you a little bit too. At some point, you got to stop drafting guys on the big potential, because it's going to take 2 or 3 years for them to maybe be there or maybe not. And you already know what Hill can do, and you need that piece. You need to tell Gordon Hayward we have a legit point guard. And clearly that cost them last year, in addition to the injuries. That cost them a playoff spot. And to me, I think that's a huge upgrade, and it's now versus maybe in the future. You know, they didn't even wait around to see who fell to them at 12. They preemptively made the deal the day before. I don't mind, you know, if it was a couple of years ago and they were really, really team building, I'd say, well, that doesn't make sense, but it does make sense. And to me, if they had taken that pick, then I'm like, okay, well, we're still 2 or 3 years away from knowing if this kid can play. So, yeah, his upside is, the ceiling is limited for Hill, but he's still a top NBA player. The leadership is there. And I believe, here's the other thing, Jay, we've been talking about them getting shooters. I think he can shoot it well enough where he can play off the ball and space the floor. And if they want to put Exum on the ball and whatever, he allows the lane to be clear, because you have to run at him. You can't let him just sit out there and stroke it.
Oh, you're right there. And don't get me wrong, I do like the acquisition. I just think he fits. That's an upgrade. I think they're going to be better because they made that trade. It's just, you know, there's always that caveat there that, hey, they did get rid of a draft pick.
Yeah, no. Understood. Point taken. And then, you know, the other two guys, you know, Page, I think, is interesting, because, as you said, 2 years ago, he had superstar written all over him, and then what happened? I still think he can shoot it. And I think, you know, maybe that's what they're looking at now. Like, okay, bring him in low. He can hang around. If he discovers the stroke and you don't make him run a team, he doesn't have a ton of responsibility. It's a nice guy, nice pickup. I don't know, Wallace is the last player in the draft. And remember, Olivier Hanlon, people were somewhat excited about. Did he even come to Salt Lake? I think he may have come for the press conference. That may have been it. But
he didn't last in summer league for very long, that's for sure.
Yeah, right. So, you know, that being said, and it was, you know, Lindsey said, we're going to be very active in free agency. And that's about as forthcoming as you'll get. And that is where they're going to, you know, make or break this upcoming season, I believe. They're a good team that just got better. How much better? In the West. You know, some of these guys, if they can pluck a quality free agent, they're not going to get a top-tier guy. But if they can pluck a quality guy and take him away from another team in the West, that helps. And so, you know, this story isn't done being written. Any other ideas, of your crystal ball and thoughts? I love to kind of pick your brain in general.
I do think, like you mentioned, I do think Ballenboy is on the roster on opening night. I think he does make this team. I don't see either Tyrone Wallace or Marcus Page making the team, though. So I think they're guys who were, you know, you get guys and hope they work out, but very few guys at the back end of the second round ever make any rosters.
No doubt.
But as for the Jazz, I see them picking up. A 4-5 who can shoot it, and whether they can make a trade and make that happen, or whether they can wrangle a guy in free agency, I think that's one of their keys to becoming even better. I mean, obviously adding George Hill makes them a lot better, but I think that they'll go out and they'll get a 4-5 who can really shoot it to space the floor, who's not young, who knows the rigors of the NBA. And I think that they're going to be able to be, a 6-7 seed this year, and I think they'll take a huge step forward as long as they don't get crushed with injuries like they did this last year.
Exactly. Yeah, no, it's definitely on an uptick here. My cautionary tale for all Jazz fans is the rest of the West will be better. Lakers, they're not going to be down at the bottom for long. The Kobe tour, that's done. Now they can focus on actually winning. I like Luke Walton. You know, maybe not for the X's and O's, but I just think he breathes some youth and some excitement in there. He comes from the Golden State, from the Kerr tree at the moment, and obviously with Laker ties. So that I have no problem with. I think they're gonna be good. And just a question of when. And again, Thibodeau with Minnesota, with the young kids they have, they're going to be better. The Kings are going to eventually maybe get it right now that they have a serious head coach and Dave Yeager from Memphis. And again, the Lakers, and then the Portland, you know, snuck up to 5 this year with like completely redoing the roster, kind of put a little extra pressure on the Jazz. They did it in 1 year, but will they last? We'll find out. The Spurs aren't going anywhere. Good draft. The Warriors are even hungrier now and mad. And then OKC made let's quickly hit on that before I cut you loose. I mean, to me, there's nothing about the deal I don't love. I Oladipo with no pressure going to a team with two all world players, assuming that Durant hangs around. So he's got a playground in front of him. I like Ilyasova, can shoot it, and I happen to really I'm high on Sabonis. I've seen him play. And his range is better than we saw at Gonzaga, and he's Arvidas' son, which gives him basketball moxie.
Well, I think it's one of those trades that's going to work out for both sides.
Yeah, I like Ibaka, right.
Oladipo's an athletic freak, and that gives you the most athletic backcourt in the NBA, and it's probably not close. And while he hasn't been a superstar in Orlando, I mean, this last year he took a little bit of a step back with his numbers, but he was still a 16-5-4 guy.
On a terrible team with coaching issues.
Exactly. So, I mean, you put him next to Russell Westbrook, and if they keep KD, I mean, they're a really, really explosive perimeter team. And then they've already got huge toughness with Steven Adams, and then you add Sabonis. I mean, I just think that really makes them special.
Ilyasova's a sleeper here. He can shoot. He's a skilled big.
Well, what you do there, right, is you replace what Serge Ibaka had become with them in kind of that stretch four guy with Ilyasova, because Ilyasova can shoot it. So when you need a guy in the perimeter to stretch the floor, you've got him to play. And if you need toughness and guys to bang on the inside, you've got Steven Adams and Sabonis and Mitch McGarry and Cantor. So you've got plenty of options there, and I think they're loaded. It was a great deal for them. And I really do think it also helps Orlando, because Serge Ibaka really fits what Frank Vogel is trying to do on the defensive end.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt it's a nice deal for both. Last thought for you. Does this catch KD's eye here? Does he go, good move?
I think it forces him to think, okay, can I give them a two-year deal with a one-year opt-out? I can get my money this year and see if this is the kind of change that we need to become a championship level team. I mean, they were very, very close this
year. 6 minutes, right? 5.5 minutes away with a 7-point lead.
Exactly. So, so close. So adding the pieces they added, he's got to look and go, oh, I can give it another year.
Yeah. No, I think it's a nice move across the board for the Thunder, also for the Magic. Hey, great job of Crystal Ball. And Jay, thanks a lot. It's been a pleasure working with you. Last time we will actually spin this, unless there could be an emergency. We may do something Tuesday, Wednesday with Crystal Ball, and we may rush the process next week in my last week. So it's been a pleasure working with you. We'll stay in touch, obviously. And thanks again for a great insight today on Crystal Ball and with Jay Yeomans.
Thanks for having me, Tom. I really do appreciate it.
Now, Russillo and